Welcome to Torah Dimecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rachel Besser, and today we'll be studying Yecheskel Perek Lamatet, Chapter 39. In our last perek, we were introduced to an event that is also a concept, the War of Gogog Umagog. At the end of the perek, the kingdom of Gog, who tried to conquer Israel, will be decisively defeated. Perek 39 discusses the nature of that defeat as well as the aftermath. The perek begins as 38 did, which the Dot Mikra points out is the framing of our story, that it ended the way it started. Pasuk Aleph, Ata ben Adan, hinavei al Gog, you son of man, give a prophecy to Gog, va'amartan, so you should say, ko amar Hashem Elokim, hinini elecha Gog. So says Hashem, I am against you, Gog, nisi Rosh Meshech v'Tuval, the prince of Rosh Meshech and Tuval. Perek 39 summarizes what happened to Gog in the last parak. Hashem is the one who led him to fight. Hashem caused him to come from the north to Eretz Israel, and then Hashem caused him to have a tremendous downfall. Since Gog is more of a symbol than an actual country, Yecheskel sets the scene of parak 39 by emphasizing Hashem's hand in the rise and fall of nations, even one as supernaturally powerful as Gog, ones who can fight the anyone they want, ones who can ally, they can kill people, but when they try to capture a people who just moments before were a collection of dried out skeletons, that is when they fall. And when Hashem causes them to fall, they fall completely and totally. Pasuk Dalid, Al Hare Yisrael Tipol, you will fall on the mountains of Israel, Ata v'chol agabecha, you and all the people who are with you, v'amim asher itach, and all the nations that you've allied with. Le'et tzipor kol kanaf v'chayat hasazen nitzatich la'achla, your bodies are going to be given over to the ravenous birds of every kind and to the animals of the field that they can eat your bodies. The dead bodies of the warriors from Gog are then debased as they become feed for the birds and the animals. The complete and total destruction of Gog even includes the land of Magog, the place where they originated from before starting the war. Pasuk Vav, Vishilachti Esh b'Magog, I'm going to set a fire to Magog, ubiyoshvei ha'iyim lavetach, and those who dwell securely in the islands, v'yed'u ki ani Hashem, and they will know that I am Hashem. At this point, the whole world will be able to know of Hashem's power. Through this fall and annihilation of Gog, Hashem's name will once again be sanctified. Pasuk Zion, v'et shem kodshi odia b'tocha mi'Yisrael, and my holy name will be known amongst my nation Israel, v'lo achel et shem kodshi od, and I will not disgrace my name again. And all of the nations will know that I am God, the Holy One of Israel. Rashi adds that while Bnei Israel were in Galut, the nations of the world degraded Hashem's name and claimed that Hashem could not save his own people. Now that Hashem saves the Jews in such a miraculous and total way from the most devastating and strong army that the world has known, it becomes clear that Hashem always had the power to save Bnei Israel. He just chose not to, for their benefit, to help them understand how to be better people, and also for justice in order to punish them for their sins. But he was always able to. The annihilation of Gog is complete when Bnei Israel emerge from their safe rooms and from their cities and gather up the weapons of the soldiers of Gog and burn them to use them instead of trees for fuel. There are so many weapons strewn around that the fires last for 7 years. That's 7 years of burning weapons. That's how many weapons were just lying around in the country. And this imagery of burning weapons for fuel reinforces the safety that Bnei Israel feel at the fall of Gog. No one could have imagined that this mighty country, one who was able to hold so many weapons, one who was feared throughout the world, could actually be dead. Bnei Israel don't need to store the weapons and add them to their own armory because they've achieved a state where weapons are just not necessary anymore. It's almost like Yeshayahu's vision in chapter 2 of the nations of the world melting their weapons into agricultural tools, except that the lack of need for weapons comes when Hashem reveals his hand, not when the nations of the world on their own recognize Hashem and agree not to use weapons anymore. It's no wonder that the UN did not choose these psukim to put on their building. After the process of bringing down the strongest of the nations, there's a need for a process of purifying the land from the dead bodies of the enemy soldiers. You could just imagine how many there were, considering how many years it took to burn the weapons. Yechezkel describes how all the bodies of Gog must be buried and cannot remain on the ground in Israel. Pasuk Yud Aleph, verse 11. Vayah bayom hahu etein legog makom sham kever b'Yisrael. On that day, I give Gog a burial place in Israel. Gei ha'ovrim kidmat hayam, the valley of those who pass through on the east of the sea. V'chosemet hi et ha'ovrim, and it shall stop those who pass through. V'kavru sham et Gog, v'et kol hamona, and that is where they are going to bury Gog and all the people, all of its multitudes. V'kru'u gei hamon Gog, and they're going to change the name from this valley where people pass by, and they're going to call it the Valley of Hamon Gog. Now, this idea of burying the dead bodies of your enemies or of somebody who did something wrong is based on a pasuk in Devarim, Perakav Aleph Pasuk Kaf Gimel, chapter 21, verse 23. And the pasuk says, Lo talin nivlato al ha'etz. Don't let his body hang on the tree, meaning this is somebody who was your enemy, someone who was executed. Ki kavur tikvarenu bayom hahu. You must bury him on that day. Ki klalat elokim taloi v'lo titame et amatcha asher Hashem elokecha noten lecha nachala. Because a body that's hanging there, a dead body, is an affront to Hashem. And you shall not defile the land that Hashem is giving you to possess. Even though the people of Gog tried to destroy Hashem's nation, and their bodies are actually a testament to Hashem's power, at the end of the day, they are human, and it is not proper to just leave their bodies out. We could imagine a good reason not to bury the bodies. First of all, it's very hard. There are a lot of them. Pasuk Yudalid, Anshei Tamid Yavdilu Ovrim Ve'eretz Mekubarim Et Ovrim Ve'et Notarim Al Pnei Ha'aretz LeTahara Miksei Sheva Chadashim Yachkoru. The pasuk describes that there's going to be a group of people that are set apart for constantly. Their job is going to be for 7 straight months. They're going to go and they're going to pass through the land and they're going to check to see that if there's any body parts or bones that remain on the land, and they'll bury them. That's how many bodies there were, that it took 7 months to even just make sure that there was nothing left. And meaning after 7 months, they'll have to even then check, because it took 7 months to bury the bodies. And that's with everyone of Bnei Israel working on it. And even then, they have to make sure that they didn't leave anything out. And this is the time that Bnei Israel would have maybe wanted to focus on rebuilding their country, which had been really hurt from the massacres of Gog. But no, instead, they have to take this time and they have to bury the bodies. Additionally, the dead bodies, another reason that they may not have wanted to bury the bodies, is that these bodies stand as a monument to Hashem's greatness. Perhaps the people who were so threatened by Gog, they must have been terrified, wouldn't mind having their bodies out to revel in their victory a little longer. Nevertheless, this monument is not allowed. It defiles Eretz Yisrael, which must be pure. And this really is an act of chesed towards the slain enemy. And this type of chesed is one of the rules of Eretz Yisrael. The land cannot be pure if the people treat their enemies' dead bodies with cruelty. And perhaps this is really a lesson to Bnei Israel when they come back to the land and they're trying to build this new society that's going to be different than their old one. And in their old society, they were cruel to their brothers who were alive. And this symbolizes the burial of the people from Gog, perhaps symbolizes the chesed, the respect that has to be given to the bodies, the dead bodies of your enemies. So, of course, it symbolizes that you must, of course, be respectful to people that are part of your society and that are alive. It's just a tremendous lesson. On the other hand, points out Professor Yechilsky Moskowitz, there's a certain irony at the burial of these bodies. The nation of Gog thought that they would overrun the country and inherit it. And now the only way they inherit the land is by being buried in it. and they thought they would plunder the land and take the spoils. Instead, Hashem speaks to the birds and the animals and invites them to a feast. Pasuk Yud Zayin, verse 17. Va'atah ben Adam, you son of man, kol amar Hashem Elokim, so says Hashem, emor l'tzipor, kol kanaf. Go say to the birds, everything that flies, ulchol chayat hasadeh, and all the animals of the field, hikapsu, come, join together. Uba'u, hiasfu, misaviv, come, join from all the surrounding areas. Al zivchi, asher ani zoveach lachem zevach gadol, on my sacrifice that I've created this great sacrifice for you, al harei Yisrael, on the mountains of Israel. Va'achaltem basar ushetitem dam. You're going to eat flesh and you're going to drink blood. These bodies of the warriors of Gog become the plunder that the animals enjoy. There's a real degradation of the bodies that Rashi points out happens before they are buried, when the animals, now unafraid of the ones who were once mighty, come and eat their flesh. And the pasuk goes on in Yotet, V'achaltem chelev lesova, you will eat fat until you are full, shetitem dam leshikaron, you'll drink blood until you are drunk from it, Mizavchi asher zavachti lachem, from my sacrifice which I have sacrificed for you. The pasuk describes these animals eating the bodies of the Gog warriors almost as a korban. The word zevach is repeated 5 times in these 2 psukim, that this is a sacrifice for the benefit of the animals. In a way, the warriors of Gog were a sacrifice. It was Hashem who made them fight, although they probably wanted to anyway. And it was Hashem who caused their downfall. And there's a great lesson that's learned from their downfall. And that is what we learn about in the last section of the Perek. In the last section of the Perek, which begins in verse 21, we have a reiteration of why this war had to happen. And we can understand symbolically why it ushers in the Messianic age. And both B'nai Yisrael and the nations have what to learn from the war. Says Yechezkel, Pasuk Kaf Aleph, V'natati et kvodi b'goyim, I am putting my honor amongst the nations, uru'u kol ha'goyim et mishpati, asher asiti, the nations will see my judgment that I did, ve'et yadi asher samti bahem, and my hand that I put against them, meaning the nations of the world will see Hashem's glory exposed, and they'll see that there was judgment against wicked people and salvation of good people. And now, that's the nations, and now B'nai Yisrael, Pasuk Kaf Bet 22, Ve'yed'u Beit Yisrael, ki ani Hashem Elokechem. B'nai Yisrael will learn that I am Hashem, their God, min hayom hahu v'hala, from that day and forward. And then they will really know that Hashem is there, Hashem is protecting them. And now we're going back to the nations, Pasuk Kaf Gimel, Ve'yed'u ha'goyim, ki ba'avonam galu Beit Yisrael. But this thing that the nations will know is not about them, but about B'nai Yisrael, that they were exiled because of their sins, not because I couldn't protect them. I could protect them. I chose not to for their own benefit and not for my benefit. For my benefit, it actually had to cause, we spoke about this before, a chilul Hashem, a desecration of Hashem's name, for this very reason, because the nations thought that Hashem couldn't protect B'nai Yisrael. But now they'll know that I could protect them. Ki ba'avonam galu Beit Yisrael, al asher ma'alubi. They were exiled for their sins because they sinned against me. Va'aster panai mehem. And I had to hide my face from them. Ve'etznem biyad zoreim. I gave them to the hands of their enemies. You didn't capture them. I allowed you. I told you to take them. Vayiplu b'charif kulam. And that's why they fell at your sword. Not because you're stronger than them and not because you're stronger than me, but because there was a certain sense of justice in the world. And then Pasuk Kaf Dalet, Ketumatam ukepishehem asiti otam. I acted towards B'nai Yisrael like they're according to their sins and according to their defilement. Vastir panai mehem. Again, the repetition. I hid my face from them. I allowed them to be taken. They didn't even know that I was with them. And you just think about Yechezkel here, telling these nevuot to the people in the galut and explaining to them that their galut is Hashem hiding his face from them and executing justice in the world. And that is the true message of the war of Gog. Miriam Blumenthal points out that there's a theme of sevens, both in this chapter and the previous one about Gog. Pasuk Tet lists 7 types of weapons that will be used by Gog's warriors, and these weapons will be burned and used as fuel for 7 years. Pasuk Yud Bet, verse 12, recounts that the corpses will be buried for 7 months In the last parak, 38, there were other sevens. Seven victims of the earthquake in Pasuk Kaf, verse 20, and seven plagues that will strike Gog in Psukim Kaf Aleph and Kaf Bet, 21 and 22. Why so many sevens? And why here? Seven in Tanakh is a special number. It represents the days of the week, represents nature and completeness. The war of Gog and Magog shows Hashem's dominion over nature, like we saw in the days of creation. Gog was complete in his strength and will be complete in his fall. The death of the greatest of the armies, when it attacks the weakest, will reveal the hand of the Creator and the ruler over nature. And then, Pasuk Kafchat, V'yed'u ke'ani Hashem Elokechem, you will know that I am your God. It almost sounds like the culmination of the days of creation, like Shabbos. V'higalovti otam el hagoyim. You will know that I am Hashem in that I caused you to go into captivity among the nations, and there'll just be this understanding, this different understanding of history. I caused you to go into captivity amongst the nations, and I gathered you back to your own land, and I will not leave them alone anymore. The parak ends with one final verse explaining Hashem's hand in this war, in nature as a whole, in Jewish history, and now in the future. Pasuk Kaf Tet, Lo astir od panai mihem, I will no longer hide my face from you. We heard the verses before where Yechezkel reiterated that Bnei Yisrael in Galut was a product of Hashem hiding his face from them. And says Hashem, after this war of Gog, I will not hide my face from you anymore. Asher shafachti et ruchi al beit Yisrael, that I have poured my spirit into the house of Israel. Ne'um Hashem Elokim, says Hashem. We remember that the last stage of resurrecting the dry bones was filling them with the ruach, with the spirit, really making them come alive. While that happened to some extent, it's not complete until now. When Bnei Yisrael see Hashem fighting for them, see the degradation of their enemies, and then they together work to purify their land as an act of chesed towards a nation that certainly did not deserve any kindness, then the process can be complete. Hashem is sanctified amongst the nations. The land is purified as an act of chesed, and Hashem has revealed himself to Bnei Yisrael that they know what their sins were and have changed in such a way that Hashem will never have to hide his face from them again. Thank you for learning together. Le'iloi Nishmas Barbara Atlas Bracha Bas Avraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.